Hello and welcome to the Welsh Connection on RNIB Connect Radio. I hope you'll stay with me, Lynn Morgan, for the next hour as I explore what blind and partially sighted people have been getting up to in Wales. But to begin, a very visual medium, ballet. Earlier this year, Ballet Cymru held a dance class in Jones Court, Cardiff, for members of Cardiff Institute for the Blind.
Hello, welcome everybody. We're from Ballet Cymru. I've got Sian, our outreach officer, who is amazing. And I've also brought two professional dancers of the company, Anna and Miguel. We're going to do a couple of ballet exercises, and then Anna and Miguel are going to just do a few positions for you to touch and feel what they're doing, so you get an understanding of how they feel when they're doing particular shapes. Anna has got some pointe shoes on, so pointe shoes enable her to go right up on the tips of her toes, and they're made of very strong paper mache, and they make her leg really nice and long when she's standing on the tips of them. And once we've done our warm-up, she's going to show you some things and you can sort of have a feel the structure of her leg as she's doing that.
Hello, my name is Amy Doughty and I'm the Assistant Artistic Director of Ballet Cymru. We've been doing some really practical dance sessions with the group here today. So we came in a few weeks ago and just had a conversation. One of the people actually said to me, why would we come and see a ballet when we can't see it? So I thought, okay, very valid point. Let's start from there. And that's really how we've got to this point today. So we had a conversation. We were speaking about Ballet Cymru and our audio described shows and our touch tours. And we brought in some costumes and pointe shoes and crowns and things for people to feel. And then we came in the following week and we said, you know, let's just try some. Let's do some ballet. And we did it at first just sitting on a chair, but going through some basic ballet terminology and technique and understanding sort of the history of ballet. And then we've come in today and we've actually upped at a level where people have been standing up and we've been jumping and we've been trying some partner work. So, yeah, we're really moving on strides, actually.
Last week we did some jumping from the chair. We were sitting on the chair and we were working on changing our feet. And I did say, you know, the progression of this would be to stand up and do it. So we're going to do some jumping today. We're going to start in what we call a ballet third position. So we've got the left foot is standing in a what we call a turned out position. That's right, Andrea. And then the right foot is going to slot in front of that foot, but the heel of that foot is going to touch the middle of the left foot. So the legs are slightly crossed. And the idea is that we have the inside foot and ankle and inside of the leg facing the front.
My name's Andrea. I really came to the ballet class because last week I got told that we were having a talk on ballet and how Ballet Cymru are going to try and make it accessible for visually impaired people. And I was playing a bit of devil's advocate because I thought, oh, well, blind people can never enjoy ballet. So I came along just to see, really. And it was a real eye-opener because they were showing us the different positions and letting us feel them. And they were telling us now we have audio described ballet so that a blind person can enjoy the story just as much as a sighted person. So she took us for a warm-up session because today we were actually having a ballet class, just to warm the muscles up so that we could bend and stretch in strange positions later on.
And as you said a little bit earlier, you think of ballet as being very visual. How did you get through that class?
She was absolutely fantastic. She made it really inclusive. So she was literally putting me in the right position. So I knew exactly what I needed to do. And I think that doesn't happen. I've never experienced that before in a dance class.
That's it, Andrea. So you're going to start with both legs are going to be bent. That's it, good. And then also this foot is going to be in front. So it's a bit more cross. It's a bit more like that. And then you're going to just literally change this foot to behind. Yes, good. Lovely. Well done.
My mum is a ballroom dancer and she's blind, and her teacher does the same as what the lady did in there. And my mum tried to make me go to a dance class and I refused. So, and then we were just practicing practicing jumping from one position to the next. Like, we started off in a particular position, then we leapt up in the air to come back down in the same position on the other side. I found it really fun. I wish there was a trampoline in there, actually. but yeah, I found it really fun. And I thought ballet was just spinning in a circle with your arms in the air. I didn't realise how complex it was, and I didn't realise how much exercise it takes.
Two of the professional dancers were holding a position.
Yeah.
Tell me what you did then.
They were absolutely incredible. I don't know how their bodies can bend like that. So they stood in a particular position, and I just felt them in that position. And I was trying to bend as much as them, and it wasn't really working.
Were their bodies quite muscular?
Very.
I'd like Anna to just do perhaps an arabesque supported by Miguel. And just for you to maybe have a look and a feel and see what this is like. So this is Anna, so that's her arm, nice and strong. Then, yeah, you can feel that she's right on the tips of her toes there. Yeah, yeah. So that's a really strong position called an arabesque. As she goes around.
How on earth do you not come a cropper? Look at those muscles.
I know. That's her arm. So
her arm.
Yeah, and then if you feel up here, that's her leg right behind her.
Oh my goodness. How yeah. do you do that?
And then this is her underneath leg. So he's holding her, so she's got nothing touching the floor.
That is amazing.
It's a nice shape, so it's sort of like a it's like the arabesque she was doing, but he's picked her up and she's put this underneath leg up as well.
So Ballet Cymru is about 30 years old. We're based in Newport, in Rogerstone, Wern Industrial Estate. And our artistic director, Darius James, is Newport born and bred. So he went to the Royal Ballet School and did his training and danced in companies around the world, but just really wanted to bring something back to Newport and to start, I guess, increasing the arts opportunities that were available in this city there. So I started with the company in 1996. I can't believe it. It's over 20 years. Initially just as a professional dancer, and then moved into more of an education capacity with the company as well. So I'm helping with the choreography and all that with the company on a professional aspect. But my passion and what I do a lot of is all the education work that we do with the company. So the company is always interested in doing things a bit differently. In fact, that's our slogan. We like to, you know, do things differently. And that is relevant, I think, in the artistic programming that we do. So always looking at doing interesting collaborations. For the Light Princess, our show this year, we've had a composed score by Catherine Finch. One thing Darius is very passionate about is supporting Wales and Wales culture and artists. Keris Matthews is our patron. And so next year we're doing Dylan Thomas's A Child's Christmas in Wales. And that'll be with Keris Matthews as well. So yeah, we perform. We have a lot of professional performances a year, about 50 a year. And accompanying that is our education program, which is diverse and really robust and actually really busy at the moment, which I'm really thrilled about. We work with, you know, really elite young ballet dancers to children in schools that have never danced before. And then we're in here today working with blind and visually impaired people. So, yeah, it's really dynamic and I love that.
Amy Doughty, Assistant Artistic Director of Ballet Cymru and taking part in the dance class Andrea, accompanied by Tchaikovsky's Sugar Plum Fairy. I'll have more from the ballet class later on the Welsh Connection here on RNIB Connect Radio. There have been changes in Wales to RNIB Cymru's Rights Advice and Information Service, RAISE. To tell me more, Ansley Workman, Network Manager, Wales.
Well, in Wales, we were extremely lucky to have a 3-year lottery grant for what we called the Rights Advice Information Service. We called it RAISE. And what that was recognising that people with sensory loss in Wales were just not been able to get the benefits that they were entitled to. And there was a number of reasons for that. One of them was about people not getting accessible information, not getting information in the format that they needed, and just not knowing about the benefits system and the entitlement that they were due. So what we did is we got together with other organisations in the sector, for example, Action on Hearing Loss, North Wales Society for the Blind, Vision Support, but also Sense and Deafblind Cymru. And we looked to develop a service that was going to meet people's needs and enable them to claim the benefits that they were entitled to. The Ray Service comes to an end in December this year, and over the 3 years of the project, our staff have supported people with Central Loss in Wales to claim over £13.5 million in unclaimed benefits. Now, that is absolutely fantastic because it means that people have got the income that they're entitled to, but also the difference that makes to people's lives is absolutely huge. So we did an evaluation of the project as we went along just to find out whether it was worth doing. We know people have got the money, but if it sits under somebody's bed and they don't spend it and it doesn't make any difference to their lives, then would it be worth putting time and energy into it? And what we found is that 75% of the people receiving the service, they felt better about themselves and their lives. And that was an independent consultation. We also found that 60% of people felt that their ability to be independent changed for the better because they'd received the support of RAISE and because they had additional income. So going on, lots of people are obviously concerned that the RAISE service won't be there, but we've got a different service in the future. So RNIB has been putting in a lot of resources and time into a new UK service called the Sight Loss Advice Service. So the Sight Loss Advice Service is a UK service where people can go for information and support and advice. And we're really delighted that all of the team working on the RAISE service in Wales are now going to be part of that UK service. So people with sight loss in Wales will continue to be able to access the support they need to get the benefits that they are entitled to. And that service starts from providing basic information so people can do it themselves if they're happy to do so. If not, we can provide extra support. We've also got a really good relationship with the Department of Work and Pensions, and they do a home visiting service. So if people do need help to fill in the forms, then the Department of Work and Pensions will actually have people come to your own home to do it. And obviously we do have a few cases where people might have to make an appeal. And in some instances, people have had to go to tribunal. Again, RNIB's Sight Loss Advice Service will continue to support people to do that. So we know it's a worthwhile service, and it is just absolutely fantastic that that service will be continuing as part of our UK service. RAISE was an all-Wales service. It was also a bilingual service, and that was really important for the people of Wales. So now it's been absorbed into the new Sight Loss Advice Service, which will be across the whole of the UK. We'll also have a bilingual advisor as well, recognising the needs of people in Wales.
The fact that so many benefits are being left unclaimed, what would be your advice, Ansley?
I think the first thing that people need to do is, if they have access to a computer and the right accessible technology, have a look in the RNIB website, because there's a lot of information and fact sheets on there that people can look at. But if they're not sure, then ring the helpline. And the helpline number is 0303 123 9999. If they ring the helpline, they can get basic information. If they need a bit more support or specialist help, then they'll be transferred over to one of our sight loss advisors, and they'll be able to help anyone that phones in. We've made changes recently and recognised that, you know, lots of people aren't just available to ring or to get information during the day. So we've now got extended opening hours. So the service is open till 8 in the evening, when there's always people on hand, and also open on a Saturday morning as well. I think it's really important that people do have their benefits checked, because what we found was something like 47% of people were not claiming their benefit entitlement, and that is a huge proportion of people, so it's always worth checking. And the average amount of money that people were not claiming was about £74 a week, and if you look at that over a year, you're talking about over £4,000. So it can make a huge difference to people's lives. And, you know, people are telling us they were able to do things like, you know, go to a chiropodist or have their hair done or buy better food, put their heating on. So very basic things for a lot of people that makes a huge difference. It also enabled people to get out and about more, which is so important that we stay connected with people, friends in our community. So people were saying things to us like, oh, it's great, I can give my friends some money towards petrol, or I can afford a taxi. So the impact of having more money in your pocket just made people's lives so much easier and more rewarding because they were able to connect better in their own communities.
People need to realise that they are entitled.
Absolutely.
So they should claim.
They should claim. And the barriers are, one, people don't know about it. They don't know what they're entitled to. And also, there is a bit of a thing, certainly with some of the older clients that came to us, who felt a bit like, oh, I don't, you know, it's not for me. It's not my benefit. But actually it is. You're entitled to that money. And also what people don't recognise is that certain benefits, if you are able to access the benefits, they signpost you or passport you onto other things. People don't know about the blind person's tax allowance. There's all sorts of things people are not aware of. And that's why you do need to either look at the website or talk to RNIB. The Sight Loss Advice Service across the UK is up and running. So hopefully what we'll have is a seamless transition for the RAISE team members who will now, on the 1st of January, start as the Sight Loss Advisors.
Sometimes I don't know why. And time seems to go by so fast. In the twinkling of an eye. Let's enjoy it while we can.
Let's enjoy it while we can.
Help me share my love.
Side of the Road by Van Morrison. And before that, you heard RNIB Cymru Network Manager Ansley Workman. And if you need advice, call the RNIB Helpline and Sight Loss Advice Service on 0303 123 9999, and it's open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays. You're listening to the Welsh Connection on RNIB Connect Radio. Managing Better supports older and disabled people to retain their independence in their own homes and is a partnership between three charities. Chief Executive Officer of Care and Repair Cymru, Chris Jones.
Managing Better was officially launched in September 2016. It's a three-year project funded from Welsh Government Sustainable Social Services Grant and a partnership between Care and Repair Cymru, RNIB Cymru and Action on Hearing Loss Cymru.
Chris Jones, CEO of Care and Repair Cymru. Beverly Phipps lives in Pencoed near Bridgend, and Beverly told me about her experience of Managing Better.
I was referred by Sandy Davis. She was working for Care and Repair at the time. So I was referred. She came out and had a look around and spoke to me about lighting and just explained that LED lighting can be very significant to someone with sight loss. I found that hard to believe. But yes, when she came out with somebody then from a company, they put it in and I couldn't believe how amazing it was. I had under the cupboard lighting so I could see when I was chopping up veg. It was amazing. It just changed my life. Places like the bathroom, I've got quite a big All Stairs and Landing, so I was worried about that. They've put LED lighting in my All Stairs and Landing as well, which has made a massive difference because I thought of putting lighting up the stairs, but it's so bright. My sight loss, I'm totally blind in my left eye and I got partial sight in my right eye. It's not full sight at all. And I've had that as a consequence of being a prem baby. So it's called retinopathy prematurity. Really, I should be totally blind by now, but somebody up there is looking down at me. And I've been blind in my left eye all my life. So it's just adapting. But with the lighting that I've used from Care and Repair, it's just made me so independent in my own home. Outside, they've painted my steps, which again, I would think, you know, that's not going to make a difference, but it makes a major difference. Now I can go out to the garden, put washing on the line. I know it sounds simple to anybody else, but to someone with sight loss, you know, I couldn't go out and peg washing on my line, little things like that. I can go out there now, you know, and do it and go down to my garage because I've got a garage at the bottom of the garden. It's amazing, really good, much more independent. I am going to rely on my children or members of my family. I'm okay now on my own. You know, I can move around the house with the lighting, and with normal lighting, bulbs, etc., they get very warm. With the LED lighting that they put in, you can touch it all day and it's cold. So don't be afraid of burning yourself or anything. You know, I didn't believe Sandy at the time, but now that it's seen the lighting, it's amazing. It really does make a difference.
So what would you say then to people perhaps who are thinking about getting the service involved? What would you say?
I would say don't be afraid to contact them, because I assumed that it was only for older people. I don't class myself as an older person, but I just assumed that, so I never bothered. But then when I went on a course and I had the number, I thought, oh, well, I'll give it a go. And I'm so glad that I did. So I would, you know, tell anybody out there to give them a ring and just have somebody to come out to assess their needs and what would make their life easier in the house.
How long did it take?
Weeks or so, from seeing Sandy, then her actually speaking to somebody to come out about the lighting, then ordering the lighting, which didn't take long at all. Yeah, and then they came and did it, and they just got on with the job. They cleaned up after them, so, you know, nobody needs to worry about the mess or anything afterwards, because there's not much mess anyway. Really good.
Beverly Phipps. Kerry Jackson, director of RNIB Cymru, was at the event, and when it was over, I asked her for her thoughts.
Actually, the project has been very effective. Over the last year, we've supported 1,400 people, made an amazing difference to a lot of people, mostly older people, people with sight loss, people with hearing loss, or perhaps both. And the best thing about the project, from my perspective, it's the collaboration across three national Wales charities and the commitment to sort of pool that expertise, to learn from what we're doing, to bring in other partners such as Alzheimer's and stroke Association, so to really upskill the people that are working on the front line, going into people's homes. And we've heard today the difference that that's made to people, whether that's, you know, saving a fall or whether that's somebody just being able to stay in their own home for longer. So from our perspective at RNIB Cymru, we're really delighted to be one of three partners in this project. It's Welsh Government funding. We hope that there'll be a way to fund beyond year three, so we're just entering into year two. And I think moving forward, it'll be about the evaluation, what's the difference that it makes, and really just celebrating the fact that it is making a huge difference to a lot of older people right across Wales.
The thing that struck me is the simplicity of something that can change somebody's life.
But we need to educate people, firstly, in terms of what those changes might be, what might be needed, and also what they're frequently inexpensive. So what I hope we'll do through the life of the project is look at the lessons learned and bring in other professionals, you know, families, carers, so that we can make sure that more people can live safely and independently in their own home. I think the other critical factor from the project and work that RNIB Cymru has already been involved in it is basic design in terms of homes, but the environment. Here we've been talking about accessible homes. So actually what we know is accessible homes are good for everyone. It's not whether you have sight loss, hearing loss or dementia. So what I hope we'll do through the life of this project is find ways to influence housing providers. There's already some great work going on in Wales, but I think this provides a platform for us to take this further so that more homes will be accessible. So it isn't a special adaptation about perhaps when we're getting older, it's there already.
Director of RNIB Cymru, Kerry Jackson. Robert Woodward has also used the Managing Better service.
We had heard about care and repair. I said one morning, I should go up to the care and repair and have a word with them for a bit of advice on having a shower put in, you know, before I go anywhere else. So she said, we will send a person to see you. The first thing she said, oh, you need a bigger toilet. We can put that in for you. And you need a handrail there and a handrail there. I thought, oh, all we wanted was a little help in the first place. And thought, well, we can put so much towards it. But when they said we can put it in free of charge, well, I was quite surprised, you know. I had to have a bit of assistance from Claire because with a urine aid, I have to take it out to listen on a phone, and it's a bit garbled. And I'm making myself a nuisance by saying, could you say that again? I'm sorry and all this. And even my wife's getting fed up with me. And Claire had to liaise over the phone, but at times I had to say my name and say she's helping me and all that lot. And that took a lot of pressure off my mind as regards worrying about this and that. She made it all so clear.
Robert Woodward. Robert referred to Claire, who is a Managing Better caseworker. Stephen Thomas, Project Development Officer of Managing Better, explained the importance of a caseworker.
What makes Managing Better really great are the skills, knowledge and dedication of the caseworkers. When a caseworker visits someone who needs a Managing Better service, they won't just look at the home to see what adaptations are required to make the home safe. They will take time to get to know the client and find out what matters most to them. Taking this approach helps put the client at ease and enables the caseworker to put in place the help that would be of greatest benefit to the client.
Stephen Thomas, Project Development Officer of Managing Better. Rebecca Woolley is the Interim Director of Action on Hearing Loss Cymru, and she gave me her thoughts.
The most important thing for me coming here today was to help people understand the impact that this service has had and focus on the fact that a lot of that impact is due to the partnership between the organisations, so between Action on Hearing Loss Cymru, RNIB Cymru and Care and Repair Cymru. One of the things that I was mentioning here today was the fact that one in six people in Wales have hearing loss, and that is actually the entire population of Cardiff and the whole population of Swansea all put together. And the difficulties that people can face when they live with hearing loss on a day-to-day basis are very significant. And as a third sector organisation, we're not huge. We can't reach all of those people. Working in partnership with other organisations, we can extend our reach across Wales to more and more people who need support with their hearing loss in their own homes. I think the main focus focus for us is ensuring that we continue to work hand in hand with Care and Repair and with RNIB. We've got a superb partnership base to build on, and I think that means that we can explore the future scope and potential for managing better and for other provision, and look at how we can enhance and increase the impact of all of our work across Wales in the future.
Rebecca Woolley, Interim Director of Action on Hearing Loss Cymru. Finally, the CEO of Care and Repair Cymru, Chris Jones, summed up managing better.
Taking a preventative and prudent healthcare approach when providing housing solutions for older people ensures they manage better and lead more fulfilled lives in the homes and communities many have lived in for most of their life. Through small-scale investments in housing adaptations and improvements, managing better will reduce falls and poor health and increase personal safety, confidence, independence and well-being at home. Taking this prudent and preventative approach will also reduce older people's visits to the GP, admissions to hospital and their reliance on social care.
Chris Jones, Chief Executive Officer of Care and Repair Cymru. If you live in Wales and would like to know more about managing better, visit their website careandrepair.org.uk or call 0300 111 3333. That's 0300 111 3333.
Lots
Clocks by Coldplay. You're listening to The Welsh Connection on RNIB Connect Radio with me, Lynn Morgan.
This is RNIB Connect Radio.
Give a little time, make a big difference. RNIB's amazing volunteers help us reach the people who need us most. We need your skills, expertise and passion so that together we can support blind and partially sighted people to live confident, independent lives. Volunteering your time for us is a great way to meet people, learn new skills and expand your horizons. We have more than 100 different volunteering opportunities across the UK. If you only have a few hours to spare, we'll have something to suit you. Why not give it a try? Visit rnib.org.uk/volunteering or call our helpline on 0303 123 9999 and help us make every day better for people affected by sight loss.
Join RNIB Connect and become part of a wider and stronger community led by blind and partially sighted people. Membership is free and it's the best way to keep in touch with things that are of interest and help to you. You'll receive Connect magazine, our membership publication, in your chosen format, as well as having the chance to be amongst thousands of like-minded, blind and partially sighted people, friends, families and supporters. You'll also be able to take part in and organise social activities in your area, campaign for change and improve the lives of people with little or no sight, and get help from our dedicated RNIB Connect support team. It couldn't be easier to join RNIB Connect. Simply complete the online form at rnib.org.uk or join over the phone by calling 0303 1234 555.
This is RNIB Connect Radio.
Let's go back to the Ballet Cymru ballet class, and Cardiff Institute for the Blind member Andrea is attempting a pirouette with dance professional Miguel. And to take us there, Sleeping Beauty by Tchaikovsky.
And she'll often do like turns in this position. So I wonder how she could feel a pirouette. How? What? Where would be a good position to put her hands on a pirouette? Maybe try holding Anna's hand. So just very slowly, Miguel will do just a slow pirouette. So this is what Anna will do. So Miguel will be turning Anna, and she'll stay in that same position with the feet, and she's literally just turning around in his arms.
So her leg is kind of like that.
Yeah, so you feel her leg again. So if you just start that turn again as she's going around, that's going to turn all the way around as well. So she stays in that shape. Yeah.
I need lots of cake after this.
Just get those energy levels back up. Yeah, that's what our dancers say as well. You know, the fantastic thing about ballet, and I suppose with most forms of dance, is that it's very tactile. So in ballet, we're very used to touching and being touched. That's how we do our choreography. So for us, it's just like doing a regular session. We come in, obviously, we have to do a lot of verbal explanation, but we always do that anyway. So there's literally no change in what we did today. We didn't really treat this as a group with blind and visual impairment. We just treated this as a group who hadn't done ballet before. We didn't have to change anything. I did warn our professional dancers that they would be getting touched a lot, but they love that. They don't mind. So that's sort of a perk for them. But other than that, we didn't really have to adapt anything that we did. We would go around and give individual attention to each person so they could understand how things felt. But other than that, it was just a new group starting ballet. And that's really all we had to change working with the group today. Sian is our outreach officer, and we planned a lot for these sessions and we had a lot of discussion about what we could do. And I do think we overplanned, because when we came in the first day, we had boxes and all sorts of stuff to actually do, which we found we didn't really need. I mean, we did use some of the stuff, but it was actually much simpler and much more straightforward than I think what both of us anticipated. The group were really responsive. They were asking really fantastic questions. And that sort of just leads you on to the next part of the session. So although we had a big plan, we sort of come in here and the plan goes out the window and we're led by the group. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been really fun. And I think I know that I've really enjoyed the time. I hope the group have as well. We have been talking about doing more work. So we're really up for that. And for any group that wants to work with us in this capacity, we'd be so open for that.
My name is Ana Pujol. I'm from Spain and I'm a ballet dancer with Ballet Cymru.
So you've been involved in the class today, Anna. Can you give me some idea of what it was like for you to be with people that have never been to ballet before or have certainly perhaps never seen ballet?
I find it really interesting to see how sometimes they struggle with positions that for us are quite natural, but at the same time, I think they pick it up really quickly. So it's nice to see that they like have an interest in it and they try.
And at one point, you were holding a position with your partner, and then they were feeling your muscles and everything. Now, that must be a first for you.
Well, I did that first in the Riverfront when we did Light Princess. And obviously you have to hold really still and really strong. And it's quite nice when they like touch your muscles and you can feel that your strength is being noticed by them. Because most of the people think that ballet dancers are all about being in a magical world and all is so happy. But you actually have to be really strong to be able to hold those positions and to do all that we need to do.
So what is your role within Ballet Cymru?
This is my second year with Ballet Cymru. Last year, I was doing Little Red Riding Hood and Benvolio in Romeo and Juliet. Then this year I've been Light Princess in the Light Princess show, which has been quite a challenge because I do ballet, I do a bit of contemporary rolling on the floor. I also do hoop, I've learned circus stuff, so that was really nice, quite a challenge, but I enjoyed it a lot. And right now we're doing another piece with a new choreographer, Tim Podesta, which is also really different, it's more contemporary, and I think as a company it's really nice to have all those different repertoires.
Mm. So hopefully now the people that you've been showing the ballet to, literally with people feeling the muscles on your body, hopefully now they will come and see you in your next production.
I really love that. Open the shows to all range of people. All population can come and enjoy a show. That's why we do it, to actually move everyone and give something to all kind of people.
Professional dancer Anna from Ballet Cymru. Gillian also took part in the class and began by telling me about her sight loss.
Well, it's sort of hereditary. It started going when I was a child. They thought it was macular, but it's got, you know, worse over time. And they said it's cone rod dystrophy. They can't do anything, you know, much about it. Oh, it was good. It was very nice. Very active. Well, they were quite easy, but quite strenuous. You know, we had a little jump and.
And have you ever been to a ballet, or have you ever had any interest in ballet? So, what prompted you to come?
Well, we started coming with the exercise, and then Roz did the yoga, and now these have come doing the ballet. You know, it's a bit of.
And what about going to a ballet? What do you think?
Well, yes, I'd go if these lot go.
Do you have a little bit more understanding now of what's involved?
Yes, it's nice to get a bit of experience of how they act, and they're very strong, yeah.
My name is Miguel, I'm 19 years old. I'm from Portugal and I'm a professional ballet dancer. I've been dancing with Ballet Cymru for 2 years now.
And can I just ask you about your thoughts on the class today?
When I was talking with Amy about it, I thought it will be a big challenge because these people can, unfortunately, they cannot see properly what ballet is about. And you know, ballet, it's all about what you see in a way. Honestly amazed because the way they approach the movement, it's everything by hearing. They don't really see the movement, but they were doing exactly the same thing as we were doing. And you know, we actually took 8-9 years of formation to do this kind of things. What they did today was incredible, honestly. I'm really amazed. Really, really amazed.
And when they were touching your limbs for them to understand the shapes.
Since I'm 10 years old, I've been used to be working in that kind of environment where people need to be really touchy, when you need to feel stuff, where your teachers touch you because they need to correct you. You get used to it in a way, not in this type of situations that they are actually analyzing positions and you really need to be strong and firm with it. Honestly, it was such a nice experience.
Where's
trombone.
Yeah.
The other one's just lower down, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, we're quite lucky in Ballet Camera in the fact that we are able to sort of shift and steer our direction quite easily because we are quite a small team. And I lead on the education work, so this is an area that we've spoken about in particular that we really want to cultivate because we have started now just offering audio described performances and touch tour as well. So it makes sense for us to then accompany that experience with this work. We can't expect people to just automatically know about us and come and want to access what we've got there. So we know that with any of this type of work that we need to actually go out and say, look, this is what we're doing, this is what we can offer you. So we are looking to do more of this work, and I don't know of any other company in Wales, dance company, that is doing this work with blind and visually impaired. And it's certainly something that I think we're all getting a really nice taste for. I think we've all really enjoyed ourselves today. And if we want to develop this audio describe and touch tour, yeah, it just makes sense that we're doing the work that's going to help underpin that. So next year we're doing A Child's Christmas in Wales, Dylan Thomas, which is just amazing. It's a new score that was written between Keris Matthews and her music partner, Mason Nearly. And Keris is also our patron of the company, so she's really happy for us to do this. We've got a recorded narration of her speaking the text as well. And so next year, another thing that we're also looking at is possibly incorporating some BSL with that as well, because there will be a lot of spoken word. But that's our new production that we'll be doing next year, and we'll be premiering that at the Riverfront Theatre in Newport. And we will have touch tour and audio described for that show as well. So I'm really hoping that people will be interested to come and see that show.
I'm still being diagnosed, but at the moment they think I have Usher's syndrome, which affects the eyes and the ears. I have had a lot of useful vision in the past, and over the years my sight deteriorated, so now I can't see anything at all. I've just relocated to work in Cardiff, and I'm just having to get on with it, and I'm learning to ask for help. One of my things is I didn't ask for help when I needed it, so...
So are you making full use of Cardiff Institute for the Blind?
Definitely, they're so reassuring and they're really good, yeah.
You've done this morning, you've already been to one class. Are you actually going to go to the ballet?
If there's an audio described performance, I'll definitely be going. Important point is that I thought ballet was inaccessible to blind people, and I have been completely proven wrong.
The Sleeping Beauty Waltz by Tchaikovsky. My thanks to Andrea and Gillian from Cardiff Institute for the Blind, and also Anna and Miguel, along with Ballet Cymru Assistant Artistic Director Amy Doughty. If you want more information on Ballet Cymru, visit their website welshballet.co.uk. Hilary Lester enjoys exploring with Travel Eyes. This year, she visited Romania with a group of students from the International School of London.
The actual trip that we had took us firstly to Bucharest. So we had a city tour of there. We went to the Royal Palace and had a tour of that, which is no longer being used. So that was quite interesting because it smelled quite musty in places, and there were a lot of sort of rolled up carpets. But it was an amazing building, really, really big, and lots of chandeliers, well worth a visit. That was on the Sunday. On the Monday, we were taken through the Transylvanian countryside, which in many respects reminded me a lot of the Welsh countryside. It was very, very beautiful. A lot of hillsides, a lot of mountains, just stunning views and beautiful scenery.
I'm Hilary Lester, visually impaired. I'm on a horse-drawn carriage going through the Romanian countryside, and it's absolutely beautiful. I have a lovely student sat by me who's doing wonderful audio description for me, telling me what I'm seeing. And the sighted people that come along to help are effectively my eyes, and without them I couldn't come out and do these trips. So yeah, I would suggest any sighted person comes along to give it a try.
I'm Jasmine, I'm 14 years old. I come from the Netherlands and Turkey. So what we're doing here is we're guiding the visually impaired. Yeah, we're just helping them out so they can experience the fun as well. And also, what we're here to do as well is just to learn, especially the students, the sighted students. We're here to learn about guiding visually impaired, or VIPs, as we may call them, very important people.
Hi, my name is Galia. I live in the UK and I study in the UK. I'm originally from Egypt and this is my first Travelize trip. It was one of my most enjoyed school trips ever. I just like the whole experience with a guiding, and it's just everyone is so friendly and we all get to know each other, and by the end of the trip we're all so close.
So that was lovely. We ended up right out in the countryside and we had like farmyard accommodation, rooms absolutely beautiful, really, really big. And we were out there for 4 days and, well, we basically went back to the countryside. We went to milk a cow. We went to a blacksmith's. We were shown how the horseshoes were made for the horses. We also went egg collecting. The students have done a video, which I believe might be on YouTube, of them cackling and making noises at turkeys, which were actually replying back. It was absolutely fantastic. I did it as well because I'm a big kid at heart. It was amazing.
One, two, three.
They're so ugly.
Are they? What do they look like?
They kind of like
so
on their
like, nose are like hanging
on
down.
Their mouth. There's like
swinging
like
around.
Skin hanging down from
right,
their...
I'm enjoying this. One, two, three. I'm having fun just watching you guys.
As I say, the accommodation was wonderful. The food was brilliant. Because it was right out in the middle of the countryside, a few of us used to go out after dinner in the evening just for a stroll. And one night, because it was so clear, I was actually able to see a couple of stars. And for me, that was, I'm getting emotional now with it, but it was fantastic. So I thank Travelize very much for that wonderful experience, and also the students. It certainly gives them a good understanding of what it is to be visually impaired. The fact that you're visually impaired doesn't stop you from enjoying life. As long as you're given the right guidance, i.e. if you're having a meal, where your knife and fork is, where your food is on the plate, so you do it on the clock, so you've got your potatoes at 12 o'clock, your carrots at 6 o'clock, that sort of guidance. Obviously, as visually impaired people, it is down to us to a degree to help them to help us. So I'm always open to what they can do to help me. They're given some form of teaching in how to guide somebody that's visually impaired. So checking which side is best for them, whether they want to hold on lightly or whether they prefer to be sort of literally arm in arm, that sort of thing. So yes, it was still a very enjoyable trip. And as you say, a very good education for the children. And I think they gained immensely from it.
My name is Susan Stewart. I work at the International School of London in Surrey. I'm the head of languages at the school. This is now the second time we've done a trip with Travelize. Last year it was to Morocco, this year we're in Romania. It certainly won't be the last one. It's quite difficult to describe what it is to take students on a Travelize trip, and I think you almost have to see it to believe it. But what we did see definitely was students who might have lacked a little bit in confidence, students who sometimes might have struggled to put things into words, over the week really blossoming, rising to the challenge that they were given. The more we go on Travelize trips, the more we realize the skills and the advantages it brings a lot of our students. The students come back and really see the world in a different way. They notice things they hadn't noticed before. They're obviously inspired by the VIs that they've led, hearing their different stories, seeing how they work and how they manage their lives. They are given a real responsibility and they rise to that challenge, something that I've never seen before with young people.
Hi, my name is Carl and I'm from Norway and I go to ISL Surrey in London, and here I am a guide for visually impaired people. And I feel it's a really good experience to know and understand the people, and you can get a completely new view on how visually impaired people have it. I just enjoyed the trip really, so I'm probably one of the best trips I've been to.
We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
and every road you take will always lead you home. Oh, it's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you
again by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth. And if Hilary has inspired you to take a trip, then visit the Travelize website. Just type in Travelize into any search engine or call 0113 834 6094. That's it for today's programme, and I'd like to thank all those who took part. Remember, if you'd like to get in touch, email radio@rnib.org.uk. Join me, Lynn Morgan, next time for the Welsh Connection on RNIB Connect Radio.